the Flamed Amid base, which is page 60, 14 lines from the bottom. It says, Mosiv Ravacha Bar Huna. This is a continuation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said the following didn't. That originally they used to accept witnesses on Rosh Hashanah a whole day. That means even if the witnesses came in the afternoon to say that they saw the moon, which meant that that day became Rosh Hashanah. One time the Levium messed up because the witnesses came very, very late, and the Beis HaMikdash thought they're not coming already. And therefore they thought, okay, it's a regular weekday. So they sang the weekday songs, the Levium, and then the witnesses came, which made that day Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says they made a takana. The Chacham made a takana that after Mincha time you don't accept witnesses, and if they come, you keep the rest of the day holy. You keep the rest of the day holy, and the next day becomes the real Yom Tov. That's what the Gemara said. After the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yechimad Zaki made a takana that they accepted witnesses a whole day again, because there was no problem with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Gemara said, the Gemara asked a question, because now the Gemara is going to ask a question. The Gemara asked a question, what does the Mishnah mean? It means they didn't sing, or they sang the wrong song. So the Gemara brought a proof that they sang the wrong song, but the Gemara said it doesn't mean that they sang the wrong song. If you don't sing, there's no greater mistake than that. Okay. So the Gemara is just discussing what happened. Did they not sing? Or they sang the wrong song? So now the Gemara says, Masav Ravacha Bar Huna, 14 lines in the bottom, on Lamed Amid Beis, page 60. Masav Ravacha Bar Huna, Ravacha Bar Huna asks the question as follows. It says in the Braise, Tomet Shol Rosh Hashanah Shachris, the carbon Tomet of the morning of Rosh Hashanah, Karev Gehilchase was brought and the proper way. Meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, that they didn't sing any songs when they brought the Karben Tumid of Rosh Hashanah in the morning. Normally, when they brought the Karben Tumid every day of the year, the Levium sang, and Rosh Hashanah they didn't sing, by Shachris. But it says, but Musaf Mahu Eimer, what song did the Levium sing when they brought the Karben Musaf in Rosh Hashanah? Meaning the additional Karben. So it says, what did they sing? Harninu lelekim uzeinu, sing joyously to the Hashem. Uzeinu of our might, hariyu, blow teruah lelekei Yaakov, to the God of Yaakov. That they used to sing at the Karban Musaf. Now, the problem is that this pasuk we say in the Yom Yom Chamishi and every Thursday. Just to keep that in mind. B'mincha mahu emer, where did they say in Mincha, Kel Hashem Yochel Midbar, the voice of Hashem convulses the wilderness. Meaning that when Hashem gave the Torah Har Sinai, and they blew the shofar, so it had the whole tumult in the wilderness. So the Gemara says as follows. By Shachris they didn't sing anything. By Musaf they sang Haninu L'Lekim Uzeinu. And by Mincha they sang Kel Hashem Yochel Midbar. Okay. But Zman shechor Rosh Hashanah liyiz b'chamishi b'shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, shashir shalei, that the normal Thursday morning song is aninu lelekim uzeinu lahaya imer b'shachris aninu, they didn't say aninu at shachris m'mnei shecheizer v'keifu leisei b'eisaperi, because he said the same thing at Musaf. Meaning as follows, every Rosh Hashanah Musaf they sang the pasuk aninu lelekim uzeinu. Now, they say that Hayem Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos, that the Levium sang in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Thursday morning song would be the same one they sang and Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. So they didn't sing it in the morning again, because why should you sing the same thing twice? Same. Now, what did they sing instead? Hasireisi Misevel Shichmei, that the Eibishter will remove his shoulder from the burden. But then it says, "V'boi the machat tamid shel shachar." What happens though if the witnesses came after the morning karbon? He says, "Arninu." They would say it anyway. Alfa b'shachayzev v'kayful saperik. Even though they would say it again by the musaf, they would say it again. That's what it says in the braith. Meaning, as follows: when the morning karbon tamid was brought on Thursday, and they didn't know if the witnesses are going to come or not. Okay, So the Chacham had a problem. If the witnesses came early in the day, right? So then they would know when Rosh Hashanah was. So from Musaf they would sing Hanina Lelekim Uzeinu. So they wouldn't have to say it Thursday morning, the first time B'Shachas. But if they didn't know if the witnesses are coming, so maybe they should sing it by a regular Korban Tomid of Shachris. Because they didn't know if the witnesses were going to come. Maybe it'd be a weekday. Okay, meaning as follows. If they knew it was Rosh Hashanah, so they didn't sing it in the morning, because they sang it at Musaf. But if they didn't know if it was going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, so now the Levim don't know. Should we sing Thursday morning regular song, like we do every day, every Thursday? Or maybe the witnesses are going to come, and then we shouldn't sing anything. Okay? So the halacha is as follows. If the witnesses didn't come by the time they brought the Korban Tamid, so what did they do? They sang it, as if it would be a regular weekday Thursday. Then if the witnesses came, they doubled it at Musaf. Mm-hmm. They sang it again at Musaf. Because that was the lesser of the two evils. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Gemara says as follows. It makes sense now. If you tell me whenever they were in doubt, they said it. That's why it says, you double it. But if they didn't say it at all, my Amid of a Kefla, why did they say it and double it? Meaning as follows. The Gemara was arguing before, what does it mean the Levim got messed up in the song? There's two ways of learning. One is that they didn't sing the weekday song at all. They didn't sing it at all. The other opinion says, no, they did sing it. So this Braisa shows that they did sing it when they were in doubt. Because what does the Braisa say? If the Levim didn't know if the witnesses were coming, they sang it. And then if the witnesses came, they sang it again. Right? But if you're going to tell me that if in doubt they never sang it, so what do you mean they sang it again? They didn't sing it, you said, if they're in doubt. So how does it work? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, the Shida de Yaimahi. Over there is different, because it was the song of the day anyway. Meaning as follows. When Rosh Hashanah fell out on Thursday, they had to sing the Thursday song anyway. It was really Thursday song. Except when you knew for sure it was Rosh Hashanah, why sing the same thing twice? So they only sang it once. But just because it was really the regular sing anyway, they didn't care so what if they said it. But if Rosh Hashanah was Wednesday, the Gemara says, then they're not going to sing the Rosh Hashanah song. Because Rosh Hashanah song has nothing to do with Wednesday. With Thursday, the Rosh Hashanah has to do because it's the same song as a regular Thursday. So Rosh Hashanah fell out on Thursday. Chacham said, you know what? If you're in doubt, say it. What's the worst? You sang the wrong song, but it's the song of Thursday anyway, so it's not so bad. No, if it's Thursday, I'm saying. If it's Thursday and you were in doubt, the Beis HaMikdash Paskin, say it. What are you afraid of? You might say it again, so you say it again. But it's better, at least that's the song of the day. But if you're going to sing Rosh Hashanah's song on Wednesday, and if Wednesday ends up to be a weekday, so that song has nothing to do with Wednesday at all, so you wouldn't sing it. And the Gemara is going to elaborate now to discuss what they sing every day in the Beis HaMikdash. A lot basically has to do with what we say, Yom Yomrishim B'Shabbos, Shabai Hoyu Alviyim Eimrim B'Veis HaMikdash. What we say, the Yom Yomrishim Yom Sheni Yom Shlishi, that is what the song that the Levim sing in the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos, he said, Mizmer Shili Yom Shabbos, like we say on Shabbos. So every day, you know, they had this special song, and the Gemara is going to explain why they sang each song on that day. What's the connection between Yom Rishon B'Shabbos and what we say, L'David Mizmer. In effect, we're going to get
it's easier to follow. Is that a special nigun to sing it?
I guess they did. I don't know what, but...
Nobody remembers.
It says they made him forget it. If you just look, now we're going to learn the Gemara, you'll see, you'll follow the... Okay, the Gemara says, now Tanya, we learned in a Braise. Rabbi Yudai Mishim Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yudai said the name of Rabbi Kiva the following. Barishin Mahu Ayyayimim. What did they say on Sunday? So you look on page 76. Okay, what did they say on Sunday? Meaning, what yom did they say? So he said, Lashem ha'aretz umloya. Because if you see, right away after the David Mizmer, which means basically a song of David, Lashem ha'aretz umloya, that Hashem is in the earth in its fullness. What does it mean? Hashem shakana, because Hashem acquired the universe, v'hikna, and he gave it over to the people, v'shalad ba'elamay, and he controls the world. So basically, what does it say? Lashem ha'aretz umloya mean that Hashem owns the earth, because that was the day Hashem made it, and he gave it over to people. Vashenia ma'ayim, and what did they say on Monday? So if you look on 77, it says, Godol Hashem u'muhulo miyed. Hashem is great and much praised. Why do we say that on Monday? Mm-hmm. So he says, Hashem shechilek ma'isav. Because Hashem separated the things that he made by making the heaven, u'malach aleihem, and he ruled over them. Meaning, Godol Hashem, where did you see the greatness of Hashem? That he split the rakia that split the heaven that split between higher and lower, and he divided it into two, and Hashem controls both of them. And the third day, what did they say? So you see right away the beginning is Elokim Nitzav Badaskel. Hashem stands in the council. Hashem stands in the council of judges. Why? Hashem Shagili Eretz B'chachmase, because Hashem revealed the earth. Because what happened was like as follows: water was all over the place, and Hashem said, let the water gather into one place. Mm-hmm. And he established the world for his assembly. So because Hashem finally revealed the earth, so to speak, so therefore we say that. What do we say, B'davi, on the fourth day? We say, Kel Nekamas Hashem. Hashem is a God of Nekam of revenge. Hashem, why? Because Hashem Shebara Chamo Levana. On Wednesday, Hashem created the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. That it says, and when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to punish the wicked people with the sun and the moon. It says, okay, that's additional stuff. Basically, it says Hashem is going to take the sun out of its shield, and the Rishonim are going to burn from it when Mashiach comes. So therefore, it says Kel Nekamas Hashem. God is the God of vengeance, because He's going to punish with the sun and the moon that He created to punish those people that worship it.
So it's not going to affect the religious people.
No. No, it said the religious people are going to benefit from the warmth. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be burnt from it. And what did they say on Thursday? Sing joyously to the God of our might, which is, by the way, the same one as Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Hashem created birds and fish, to praise the name of Hashem. Because, simply the Mephashim explain, when you see so many birds and so many fish, you get all carried away from it and you start singing to Hashem.
They're singing gals?
The birds also sing. They're also singing. B'shishia Yo'emir, and what did they say on Friday? Hashem Malach Geis, Lavesh Hashem has reigned. Men Hashem is king. Geis, Lavesh, he put on his grandeur. Hashem Shegomer Malachti Malach Aleim. Because Hashem finished the work and ruled over the world and became king. It also brought down, because that was what Adam Rishon sang. When Adam Rishon was created, he said, he realized that God is the king. He got everybody together and said, Hashem Malach. Mm-hmm. So because Hashem ruled the world and Friday, so we say Hashem Malach. The Shvi, what?
You would think
to
say that on Rosh Hashanah.
Huh? Well, we say it every Friday night. Every Friday night, we say not on Rosh Hashanah. Right after Luchadayi, we say Mizmer Shir and Hashem Malach. So the reason we say it every Friday, because that's when Adam Rishon was created.
Mm-hmm. You say this one?
Yeah, every Friday night.
Mizmer Shir
on Yom Kippur, we say the first one. Sunday.
No, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say
Thursday.
No, after Shemoneh Esrei at night. We say LeDavid, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, why is that?
Because that's when the Eibishter created the world. So you say it. Now, B'Shabbat, B'Shvi, and Shabbos, what do they say? Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos. Yeah, they say Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos, Al Shem Sheshavas, because he rested on the seventh day. Okay, so this is basically what the Gemara says, why we say each day, so the Yom, and basically what we're saying is what the Levium saying in the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't, that's what the Levium saying every day in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, this Gemara that we just said, in the name of, Amen Rab Nechemya said as follows. Maroch HaChomim, why did Rabbi Kiva see? Lechalik bin HaPrakam Alalu. He says, why did he say, I skipped. Veshviyah Yoimim on Shabbos, he said, Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos, Liyim Shekula Shabbos. When the days of Mashiach come, there'll be a whole Shabbos. You know, like we know that the whole world is going to be Shabbos. So the Gemara says as follows. If you notice, the Gemara is going to ask a question. All the 6 days dealt with creation. All the 6 days dealt with creation. Shabbos, he talks about Mashiach. The Yom Shekula Shabbos, when it will be the ultimate Shabbos when Mashiach comes. So Rav Nechem is going to ask a very simple question. Why did the Chachamim differentiate between the first 6 days correspond with creation, and Shabbos deals with Mashiach? Shabbos should also talk about creation. So he says, yeah, he changes it. Basically, he says the same thing, but the Shabbos he changes. Elabarish, in the first day, he says, Shakon v'hiknin v'shalom b'lam, because Hashem acquired the world and controlled it. Vashen, in the second day of creation, we say it, Shechilik ma'isev v'malach alim, because the same thing, because he made the Rakiya and he ruled over it. Vashlish, on the third day, Shegilad is b'chachmasi, because he revealed the land with his chachma, v'heichin tevel ados, and he established the world for his assembly. But Avia Shabarachah Melavan of Asli Parmi of them, because he created the sun and the moon, and he's going to punish the people. But Chamisha on the fifth day is because he created Eifes Vadagim L'Shabeach L'Shmeit to praise the name of Hashem. B'Shishi Shagamer Melachtim, because he sixth day we say because he ruled. Now he said B'Shvi, why do we say Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos? Not because of the coming of Mashiach, because that has nothing to do with creation. But Hashem Sheshavas, because he rested.
What does it say about Mashiach?
No, the Gemara said, the first opinion says, that why do we say on Shabbos, Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos? Because it speaks about the era of Shabbos when Mashiach comes. Because then the whole 7,000th year era is going to be Shukul Shabbos. It's all Shabbos.
So I mean, that's what this is talking about?
Yeah. But the Rav Nechemi asks on that, why is this different than the other 6 days? The other 6 days are talking about creation, and the seventh day is talking about Mashiach. So he answers, no, the seventh day is also talking about creation. Mizmer Sheliyim HaShabbos, Shabbos means resting, Shavas. So he says it's not dealing with the era of coming of Mashiach, he's dealing with the era of resting that Hashem rested when he made the world.
The people has to rest too.
No, but he's speaking about what Hashem did.
Yeah, okay.
All these things are what Hashem did. Mm-hmm. So he's saying what Hashem did is the concept of resting. But Kamiflegi, this is an interesting concept coming up. But he argues on Rav Katina. The Amid of Katina, Rav Katina said the following. Sheet alfe shni ava alma, the world will exist for 6,000 years. V'chat churuv, and for 1,000 years it will be destroyed. Shenama, because it says, V'nizkav Hashem levadi b'yemahu, God is going to be alone on those days. But Abaye, I'll explain in a second. But Abaye says, today churuv is going to be 2,000 years of destruction. Shenema, because it says, Yichayenu miyemayim, he will revive us after 2 days. And by Hashem, every day is 1,000 years, which means we'll be revived after 2,000 years. Meaning as follows. He says as follows. What's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Mizrach Shiliyim HaShabbos has to do with the era of Mashiach, and Ibn Nechemiah says it has to do with creation. Why? So he says as follows. The question is, how many thousand years of Shabbos will there be? One or two? The first opinion says there's going to be 1,000 years of destruction, meaning it will be a complete concept of Shabbos. It doesn't mean the world will be physically destroyed. It means the world will be uplifted from its mundane level to a holier level.
Why is it called destruction? Destroyed from its regular path.
Right. See, he says, brings over here, according to many commentaries, including Rashi, the millennium of destruction will follow the Messianic era, the resurrection of the dead, and the great day of judgment. However, there's dissenting views as well. You see, if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin. But Gemara learns that the concept of Chat Churuv means the world will be destroyed from its present level, and it will go on a higher level. And therefore, the question is it going to be one day Shabbos or two day Shabbos? Meaning, if you hold this 2,000 years of destruction, that means it's two Shabbos, right? So you can't say that it goes for 2,000 years. So therefore, he holds that the Shabbos song goes for creation. But if you hold Mashiach's era is only 1,000 years, so then it can go for that 1,000 year era.
Why did they call him to
then it goes on the 2,000 year era. In other words, the Gemara is saying as follows. If you hold Mizrach Shiliyim HaShabbos goes lost at Lover, for like the first opinion of Rabbi Yehuda contra Rabbi Kiva, so then it means that there's one day of Shabbos, meaning 1,000 year, and it's one Shabbos that we're singing for. The other opinion says, no, La'asad Lavi is going to be two Shabbosim. So you can't have a song for double. So therefore, it's only referring to the days of creation. But he brings down over here an interesting question, all the Mefarshim asked, but the Nechemiah himself said a different reason. The Nechemiah says, because all the Pesukim go on creation, so why is this going on the future? Mm-hmm. Okay? So they go into a whole arichas of why he does it.
Why they call it destruction? He said it's going to uplift it.
So it's going to be destroyed from its present level. That's what it means. It's going to be destroyed from its present level. And it'll be reaching a higher level.
Is it disrupted or destroyed?
It literally means destruction. But when you say something is destroyed from its present level, that doesn't mean it's going lower. It could be basically going a higher level. It's being destroyed from its low level. Like if you say you destroy the Yetzer Hara, doesn't mean you're going down. It means you're going up. That means world as the word olam, which is concealment, elam, mm-hmm. That will be destroyed. Because it will be on a much greater level. So the question is it going to be for 1,000 years? Is it going to be for 2,000 years?
Would that be the times of Mashiach? Or at least
no, they say according to many people it's afterwards. Some people say it's during.
It's after Mashiach?
Some people say it's after, right. Some people say it's after, some people say it's during. Because the year 6,000 begins the 7,000th year era, right? So then if Mashiach has to come by the year 6,000, latest, right? Because of this Gemara that says that afterwards it's going to be 1,000 years of Churuv, which is not, God forbid, destruction. It's going to be destruction from the present level. It's going to be a much higher level. It's going to be Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, you basically destroy worldly affairs. What happens on Shabbos? You have nothing to do with world, basically. All the malachas of creativity, you don't do on Shabbos. If we said work on Shabbos, by definition, the Torah uses the word don't do malacha. So in the English definition of malacha is basically work. But work, it doesn't mean work. Because to turn on a light is not work. And that's forbidden. And to schlep a heavy table in the house is work, but it's not forbidden. Mm-hmm. As far as not doing work goes, right? So obviously the concept of work And like people say, oh, I enjoy driving to the beach on Shabbos, so therefore it's not malachas, so I should be allowed to do it. For me, it's pleasure, not work. So the answer is, the whole concept of malach on Shabbos is not work. Because if you analyze the whole concept of Shabbos, why do we have Shabbos? Because Hashem created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now Hashem didn't work hard, he wasn't sweating. Like the Gemara says, Lei ba'amav alei b'yegiyah barak kodesh baruch ha'selami. God didn't create his world with amal, or with hard work or effort. Hashem said, Vayomer Elokim, and it happened. If you say it doesn't, I say let there be light, then there's light. It does not work. So what did Hashem basically do in 6 days? Hashem created in 6 days. He didn't work 6 days. He created 6 days. So Torah comes along and says that if Hashem created 6 days and rested on the seventh, so I want you to create in 6 days. And Shabbos, I don't want you to create. There's nothing to do with the definition of work. So what basically happens in Shabbos? We stop creating. We stop creating. And Hashem, like it says in Chassidus, Hashem on Shabbos, like this Hashem during the week, is on the level of creator, which is the way Hashem associates himself with world. So it's Hashem basically limiting himself into a level of world. So it's a lukus coming down in a natural form. Shabbos, Hashem stopped creating. So basically Hashem remains, so to speak, in the infinite level. So when a person doesn't work on Shabbos, what level of godliness is revealed in the world? The level of godliness which is supernatural, which is above creation. So therefore, when a Jew doesn't create on Shabbos, he connects himself to that level of creation, of super creation. So basically, the concept of creation on Shabbos is destroyed. That's the concept of churuv. It means the level of creation on Shabbos is not there anymore. It's destroyed. Doesn't mean like everything's going to collapse and disappear.
So what about the 1,000 years? Also, there won't. It'll be kind of like a Shabbos.
That's the whole. Like the Gemara said before, the expression "the Yom Shekula Shabbos" is going to be a whole era of Shabbos. That means the world would be on a much higher level than it is today.
But they won't have to be like creating and.
No. But the Gemara is defend. What? No. Well, it won't have to be done through the Jews. That when Mashiach comes, the goyim are going to, the foreigners, meaning, are going to do it, do all the work for the Jews, and Jews, as Rambam says, are going to be able to sit and study Torah, just like a concept of Shabbos, basically, where all your work will get done by itself. You won't have to do it.
What about after the 1,000 years?
So that's the opinion. The argument is there's going to be a second 1,000 years.
Okay, but after 2,000, and it's all finished?
No, it doesn't. Will everything be destroyed? No, it doesn't imply that. It doesn't mean that, basically. Huh. What will happen? We'll know when it happens.
Is there a concept of post-Mashiach?
Post-Mashiach.
Post-Mashiach times.
See here, he says, according to Rashi and Sanhedrin and other places, it says that this churuv that we're talking about is going to be after the coming of Mashiach, after Tchias HaMeisim. Because there's a whole question, there's an argument really between the Ramban and Rambam of what is the ultimate reward. According to the Rambam, after Tchias HaMeisim, the ultimate will be afterwards everybody dying, eventually, and there'll only be spirituality, neshama singaneid, no more physical. Because the Rambam holds you can't have the ultimate level of godliness in the physical. The Ramban argues, and the Ramban learns that the ultimate era is Tchias HaMeisim. That is the ultimate. Because the Ramban learns, and that's what Kabbalah learns, by the way, that the ultimate level of godliness is revealed dafki in the physical world rather than in the spiritual world. So according to Kabbalah and Chassidus and the Ramban also, they say that the ultimate reward is in the highest level is dafki in the body. So therefore, according to them, that's the ultimate. According to the Rambam, after Tchias HaMeisim, there will be a concept of eventually, when exactly, who knows. But the ultimate will be the neshama without a body. No, according to the Rambam, it will be the ultimate without a body. The question is, can you reach the ultimate through physical? The difference is, if your opinion is physical more distant than from God than spiritual is. So if you hold physical is more difficult, more distant from God than spiritual, so then you can't. You have to say the ultimate reward is a neshama without a guf, right? But if you say that physical and spiritual compared to God are both equal, and if anything, the physical reveals a deeper level of godliness than spiritual does, like Chassidus, and we learned this many times. You explained this concept, so then the ultimate will be the physical. And the truth is, physical reveals a deeper aspect of God than spiritual. Except now we don't see it. But when the source of physical will be revealed, it's a higher source of godliness in godliness than the spiritual.
Spiritual is above. But the
in a revealed way, spirit right now, in a revealed way, where we don't see the source of ultimate source of everything, then Ruchnius, spiritual, is greater than Gashmius, because it reveals more of godliness. Because the physical hinders and conceals godliness. Like a neshama without the body feels godliness, and the neshama in the body doesn't feel anything, because the physical conceals it. But the truth of the matter is, in essence, physical reveals a deeper level of godliness than spiritual. Why? Because God has two aspects in him. One aspect of God is that he's Ein Sof, that he's infinite. Another aspect of God is as the Rambam himself says, the concept was called Metziusi Me'atzmusi, a self-existent entity, which is called Ein Lo Tchila, that he doesn't even have a beginning. You have, many times you have the expression, God is Ein Sof, unlimited, no end. No end doesn't mean you don't have a beginning. Meaning, there's a time maybe that you weren't, and then once you became, you remained forever. Ein Lo Tchila is a deeper level. You never began because you always were. And then for sure you're Ein Sof. Okay. Now, God is a self-existent entity. Right? God never was made. God was not created. God is what's called Metziusi Me'atzmusi, as the Rambam says. Right? Now, the difference between Ruchnius and Gashmius, the difference between spiritual and physical, is spiritual feels its source. Neshama feels its godly source, its level of godliness. Gashmius is called Yesh Miayin, something from nothing. Now, why is it called something from nothing if God isn't, what do you mean, God is not nothing, God is everything? What do you mean, this is created something from nothing? So the answer is, because the something doesn't feel where it comes from. It doesn't feel the source of godliness. So from its perspective, I exist, and where I come from, I don't know. So it's Ayin. Okay? So basically, what are you? If you don't have a source, if you don't feel your source, so in your perspective, from your perspective, what are you? If I don't have a source, that means I made myself, self-existent entity. So Gashmius, which in its perspective, which is its existence, really, because everything is really God, but its existence is dependent on the fact that it feels itself to be something. Right? So what is Gashmius really? A self-existent entity. So Gashmius reveals that aspect of God, which is a self-existent entity, which is a much greater level than Ruchnius. So now, we don't feel it, which is a terrible thing. We don't feel God. But L'asod Lavei, when the source of everything will be revealed, Gashmius is going to reveal a level of godliness. Not only that God is no end, but even more so that God has no beginning. So therefore, according to the Ramban and Kabbalah, the ultimate revelation of godliness is going to be Dafkin Gashmi, it's not in anything else. So exactly what's going to happen by the Chat Churuv, what does it mean? Is it going to be a physical destruction or a spiritual meaning ending of the physicality of the world in its coarseness and only to feel godliness? We'll wait and see what happens. When it happens, we'll figure it out. Or we'll know what happens.
You have to believe.
Of course, everything's belief. You don't believe, nothing works. But then it says, "B'musiv." Okay, let's just finish next few lines. "B'musiv de Shabbat tomorrow." You aiming? What did they say on the Musiv of Shabbos? Amir Avonin, Bar Rava, Amir Rav. They said, Heizayin Yud Vav Lamed Ches, which is an acronym for the first in Hazinu. You have like different segments. So Rashi just says what they all are. You have, for instance, Hazinu Hashemayim is a Hey, and then it says Zecher Yemei Seilam, which is a Zayin, and Vayar Hashem Vayinot. These are all in Hazinu from parts of Hazinu that they said. Just the Levim say the different songs in the Beis Hamikdash every day, Kachalukim beBeis Hakneses. So we say it also in the the Gemara says just like the portions of Hazinu were divided up. So that's the way to divide it up when you read the Torah in Shul and in and Parshas Hazinu. Now, Mincha b'Shabbat, what did they say in Mincha and Shabbos? What did they sing in the Beis Hamikdash? So he says, when they brought their afternoon carbon, what did they sing? Amar Abyechinen, they sang Oz Yashir, and Micha Mecha, and then the Yidden sang Oz Yashir. Meaning, the various different songs that they sang of Oz Yashir in the Chumash. Meaning, there was Oz Yashir in Beshalach, Oz Yashir Meshiv in Israel, and then there's one in Parshas Chukas that they said, Oz Yashimesh Ali Be'er Enula, about the well at the end of the 40 years. So they sang Oz Yashir, we say in the morning, they sang Micha Mecha, and then they sang Oz Yashir, what the Eden sang about the well.